one and only Son that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. And I'm so thankful for that. Well, I want to say, Rhema Bible Church, I miss you so much. I wish you were here with me, but you know what? There's no distance in the anointing of the power of God. And so I just believe that you're experiencing the same anointing there that we're experiencing here. Now, I will tell you, you know, in my lifetime, I've experienced a lot of things, but I have never experienced speaking to a church that has no people. So I guess there's a first for all of us. But, you know, as my husband asked me to minister tonight, instantly a scripture came to me that I have used many, many times. It's over in Isaiah 26, and you might want to turn there. But this scripture, and I'm going to read this scripture, but we're going to read a little bit more than just this scripture. But the scripture says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." And, you know, in the environment that I live in constantly, there are so many things that endeavors to get me out of peace. And I am a person that I love a peaceful environment. I don't like it when my environment is not peaceful. But I realized, you know, that the only way that we can experience peace is to have our mind on the Lord, because it's our mind that gives us so much problems. But, you know, I have read that scripture over and over and over again, and you know, I would just read that particular scripture in Isaiah. I wouldn't read a lot of the rest of Isaiah because, you know, it's about the end times. And honestly, really, nobody really knows how to interpret the end times properly. And so I thought, you know, if I can't do something about it, then why read it? So I hadn't read a whole lot in Isaiah except, you know, those promises that we have. But I began to research as I was preparing for this message, and I began to research some things that cause this scripture, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." And during this time, the people of Judah, they had experienced a lot of material prosperity. And, you know, they were depending up, they were relying more on themselves than they were on God. They'd become a little complacent. It's not that they had put God aside, but yet on the other hand, you know, when times are good, we kind of just think, okay, we can do it all by ourselves. And so they were relying on their own strength. They were relying on each other's strength instead of relying on the strength and the peace of God. And so God, through Isaiah, was telling them of things that were to come. And he told, through Isaiah, he told Judah that they were going to be taken captive by the Babylonians. But, you know, God was telling them, in spite of that, let me tell you, let me give you some instructions as to what you are supposed to do and what to stand on. Aren't you thankful that God will always give us instructions for the days to come? I know when he sent the Holy Spirit, he said to the disciples, he said, "I'm sending the Holy Spirit to you who will be a comforter, and that Holy Spirit will show you things to come." And so actually this Isaiah 26 was actually a song that was given to them. And so I want to start with the first verse, Isaiah 26, starting with verse 1. And this is in the King James Version because I thought, oh my goodness, this was so appropriate for the times that we're living in now. Dark times. I mean, times that we never expected to happen. But this is what he said as a song. In that day, talking about the day when they're captured, he says, "In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates that the righteous nation which keep speaketh the truth may enter in, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. And then I want to read this again in the New Living Translation because I really like this. It says, in that day, and this is what he's telling them, in that day, everyone in the land of Judah will sing this song, our city is strong. And I thought about that. I thought about in the midst of what is going on in our cities, we need to start declaring our city is strong. Our city is being healed. Our state is being healed. Our nation is being healed of this plague. And it says we are surrounded by the walls of God's salvation. Now I looked up the Hebrew word of that salvation, and it means deliverance from harm. Deliverance from harm. I'll tell you what, as I looked this up, I was having just a happy, hilarious time in my own house rejoicing because I believe that God is healing our cities, healing our states, healing our land at this time. And it says, open the gates to all who are righteous. Allow the faithful to enter. And then he says, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. My goodness, that should make you happy right now. We need to shout out that our city is strong. But I want us to focus on, thou will keep him in perfect peace. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. You know, I was thinking about that, and things have been happening so quickly. And, you know, as the president first came and said, okay, we're going to have a 2-week plan and we're going to kind of close everything up for 2 weeks. Well, we thought, okay, you know, we can handle this for 2 weeks. You know, it's a time that we kind of can relax. But then all of a sudden, when on Sunday, he comes and says, hey, we're going to have to do this until the end of April. I am sure that your thoughts were, just as my mind was tempted to say, I can't do this anymore. I can't handle this. And it was a time that, you know, our minds wanted to be distraught. We wanted to be distraught. And yet, at that particular time, this scripture came to me that has come to me so many times, thou will keep him. And I just said to myself, you will keep me in perfect peace because I'm going to keep my mind on you. You know, this is a time that the enemy will try to pound you. He will try to be screaming in your ears. You'll look at the statistics, the staggering statistics that they are giving us. And I'll tell you what, our thoughts can go wild. Your thoughts are, well, have I washed my hands enough? Am I using enough sanitizer? You know, I'm one of these people that, honestly, I didn't use a lot of sanitizer before because they said, you know, that the sanitizer could also kill the good bacteria. So I wasn't used to using a lot of sanitizer, didn't have much of a stock in my house. And you should see all the little bottles now that I have in my house because you can't find it anywhere. And so you're thinking, oh, you know, am I going to run out of sanitizer? What can I do? And then, you know, we're, of course, following the social distancing. We're endeavor to, and somebody comes up to us and we just, you know, pull away from us 6 feet, 6 feet, you know. We go into a grocery store. I know, I've gone into the grocery store and I'm looking, is that person going to cough? Is that person going to sneeze? I'm just going to kind of move my, you know, I'm going to go down the aisle this way, backwards, so that they won't touch me. And sometimes, you know, people, because they know me, they want to say hi, and they'll start coming toward me and saying hi, and I'm backing away. One person, it's been a couple weeks ago, came and grabbed me by the back. So So, I mean, it's really easy to get out of peace during these times. And, but, you know, in these situations, what we're tempted to do is to focus on the negatives. To focus on the negatives. You know, we focus on, is our world falling apart? What's going to happen to my job? How am I going to pay my bills? Will this ever end? Will life ever be normal again? Am I going to have to live like this for the rest of my life? Well, I will tell you, the enemy is no respecter of persons. He's brought those thoughts to me as well. But this is the time that we must go to the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? Because it is the Word of God, and it is keeping our mind focused on the Word of God that will keep us in perfect peace. And I want to read over in Philippians 4. These are scriptures that if you don't have them marked in your Bible, you need to mark them. You need to read these on a daily basis. This is Philippians 4, starting with verse 6. I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation. It says, "Don't worry about anything." Oh my goodness, that hits us all, doesn't it? "Don't worry about anything. Instead," this tells us what to do, "pray about everything." Do you realize that prayer changes things? Prayer changes circumstances. And so instead of worrying, we need to pray about it. It says, "Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done." And then he says, when you have done that, guess what happens? Verse 7, "Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me, everything you've heard from me and saw me doing. Then what? The God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you. And what does Paul say? He says, fix your thoughts on what is true, what is honorable, lovely, and admirable. In other words, think of positive things. Think of positive things. You know, I started thinking about that even in the natural, some of the positive things. And mind you, I am not one to stay home. I'm one of these. And the other thing that happens to me, I'm used to shopping at midnight at night, and everything closes at 8. I'm having to change my planning because the stores, everything's closed when I really want to start shopping. But you know, in thinking of positive things, even in the natural, one of the things you can think of, well, I'm saving money by eating at home. You don't realize how much that we spend eating out. And you think about the fact, well, I have more family time. You know, we were always griping about family time, and now we're griping because we do have family time. Now, I was thinking of the fact that my daughter, it was Winter Bible Seminar, she was talking about, oh my goodness, she was doing a puzzle, and that's what old people do. Well, obviously, you know, the trend has changed. I tried to get puzzles online, and there's a 2-week waiting list. In some places, you can't even get a puzzle. So I guess things are changing. The young people are doing puzzles now. But, you know, it's a time to catch up on things, on projects that you've never had time to do. It's a time to spend time with your kids talking about life. You know, I know my parents, they went through the Depression. And guess what? They told me about that. They told me the things that they had to endure. And I'm so thankful that I listened. Because, you know, in my mind now has gone back to that. Hey, if they endured then, I mean, my dad, he couldn't even get tires for his car because they were rationing and they weren't giving them to just everybody. And he was a minister, so he couldn't get a car, tires. And I remember that he said, I stood in front of the place and I said, I have four flat tires and I am going to park my car here until you give me tires. And so I looked at that and realized, hey, he was standing strong and he was persistent in what he needed. And I'll tell you, those things have come back to me because they taught me how to stand and how to survive even in the midst of trouble. And you know, you need to talk to your children about these things. But now is the time. And another thing to do is you need to take inventory of your life. Are there things in your life? Do we need to declutter our life? We have been so busy doing so many things. Maybe we need to eliminate some of those things in our life to declutter them. But the most important thing is that we need to keep our mind focused on God, because it is being focused on Him is the only way that we're going to have perfect peace. Now, what is perfect peace? This is a dictionary of perfect peace, a description, a condition of freedom from disturbance within the soul. A condition of freedom from disturbance within the soul. Now, you may ask me, how do you do that? You know, our minds are always thinking, and like I say, the enemy would just try to pound us with all kinds of things. Well, I want to just share with you for a few moments my secret of keeping my mind on the things of God and causing me to be able to experience perfect peace. I don't know if you realize it or not, but music has an effect on your soul, as we call it, because that's where we have trouble. And so all of my life, I have always had on worship music. And, you know, worship songs, it's one of the most powerful ways to keep your mind on the Lord. Because as the saying goes, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. And so I've always, as I said, surrounded myself with gospel music all my life. I remember when we as a staff, as a church, as our pastoral staff, sometimes we would play this game called Encore. And it was a singing game. And, you know, you would draw a word and then you would have to sing about five words to that song. Well, the only songs that I could think of were Christian songs, because that's what I ever listened to. And, you know, I mean, I might draw out the word stand and I would think of stand up for Jesus, you know, and on Christ the solid rock I stand, and standing on the promises. Those are the things that I thought of, because those are the things that have been placed in me all my life, because I'd always listened to worship music. Now, for those of you that are watching that that you don't remember or never even heard of cassette tapes, 8-tracks, you know, before even all of those things, we had what we call vinyl records. Now, I think those are coming back. But I would have a record player, a whole stack of records that those would play as when my children were young and I was at home with the children. I mean, I had a whole stack of records and they would play all day long. Because you see, I wanted my kids to be filled with faith-building songs. And I remember David Ingalls had a song called There's a Whole Lot of People Going Home. And Denise was about 4 at the time, and I would hear her singing the songs, you know, on those records. And I listened to her one day, and this is what she was singing. There's a whole lot of people bowling home. Bowling home. And I said, Denise, bowling home is not bowling home. It's going home. But that's what she understood it to say. You know, I always had lots of children in my house. And yet, because of the peaceful music, I was just thinking the other day, you know, the kids, when they were in my house, there was none of the kids were ADD. And I really do believe that it was because of that peaceful music that I had in the house. In fact, one neighbor asked me one time, she said, "What kind of music do you play at your house?" She said, "Michael comes home so peaceful and singing these unfamiliar songs. You know, what are you playing?" And I told her, "Well, I'm playing Christian music, and it, you know, the music brings peace." And I would do this during the daytime, but honestly, at night, I guess I didn't even think about playing that all night long. Until one time years and years ago, by this time cassettes had come in, you know, and that's still a long time ago. But suddenly, you know, I was bombarded with circumstances in my life. I'd encountered a situation that was causing me so much stress, and when I'd try to sleep, that's when the enemy would just bombard me. And so suddenly I realized, hey, music will keep your mind on the Lord and in perfect peace. So I started playing music at night as I was sleeping. And I'll never forget, I would put on David Engel's song and put it on continuous play. And that song would say, it was a song that was entitled, "My Confidence is in the Word of the Lord. My confidence is in the Word of the Lord." And I would play that all night long. "My confidence is in the Word of the Lord." And you know, that was the only thing that brought me peace. And I realized that God was healing my distraught mind by constantly filling it up with the uplifting faith songs. And so from then on, I surround, my husband and I surround ourselves with Christian faith-building music all the time. In my home, right now, it's playing. In my car, it's playing. When I am in a hotel, it's playing. At night, it is playing. I surround myself with those songs all the time. And you know, I have playlists for various situations. The song that kind of ministers right now, it's the Gaither Vocal Band sings it, and it's called "Not Gonna Worry." It goes like this: "I'm not gonna worry, I'm not gonna fret, I'm not gonna speculate or contemplate what hasn't happened yet. I'm not gonna worry, he's got the whole thing in his hands. I won't let it haunt me, I won't let it win, I'm not going to ruminate or meditate on how it might have been. I'm gonna release it, he's got the whole thing in his hands." Know this day, God has this in his hands. He has you in his hands. And so if you will just keep your mind on him, do the thing that's necessary to keep your thought life on him, he will keep you in perfect peace. And so fill your surroundings with faith-building music. Secondly, find scriptures to stand on for the things that's trying to steal your peace. You know, in our minds right now, of course, is COVID-19. I mean, you know, we never heard that word before, and all of a sudden, that's all we hear. And when the enemy tries to put fear in you, tries to say, well, you know, they're saying 90% of the people are going to get the virus. Well, of course, the enemy's going to pound you. And you know what? You need to pound him right back. And I quote this every day. I quote it over my family. I've been quoting this scripture for 40 years now. It's Psalm 91:10. If you don't know it, you need to underline it. Psalm 91:10 and 11 says, "There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." And so when fear starts coming on you, just say, "No plague shall come nigh my dwelling. No plague shall come nigh my family, because my angels are surrounding me with protection." And then on to verse, I like the whole 91st Psalm. So you need to read that on a daily basis. But then let me read to you Psalm 91:15 and 16. "He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. That's the promise that God has given us. I quote that every day. And every day, this is what I say. And I call all my family and I say, with long, healthy life, Lord, over 100 years, Lord, will you satisfy us and show us your salvation? And another scripture I quote, 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And so when the enemy tries to put fear in you, you know, I do as Jesus did when he was tempted of the Satan. He said, it is written, it is written, it is written. And I yell and I just say, devil, I have not been given a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind, and you cannot put any fear in my life. So surround yourself with uplifting music, quote the word of God, and finally, trust in God. Isaiah 26:4 in the Amplified says this, so trust in the Lord, commit yourself to him, lean on him, hope confidently in him forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock, the rock of ages. Trust in the Lord. It says, commit yourself to him, lean on him. I want to ask you, during these critical days, have you been leaning on God? You know, once again, as I said, all of these songs come rolling in on me. And one of the songs that I have just become in my thought life during this time is the old song, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. I want to read it to you. It says, what a fellowship. What a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. And then I like this verse. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. So we must lean on him during this time. We must trust in him. Psalm 56:3 says this, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And then Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Know that during these critical times, and really always, we need to lean on the Lord because he is your rock. You know, rock in the Old Testament is a symbol for divine strength. God is our divine strength. You know, of course, my favorite scripture, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. He is our divine strength, and so we should lean upon him. And lastly, we need to continue to pray. You know, over in 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. And, you know, our land needs healing in a lot of ways. So we need to pray for our country, pray for our land, pray for our leaders, pray for the medical profession, pray for those that have been affected, pray for unity in our Congress. And it says in verse 15, now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. And then lastly, I want to read Matthew 18:18, and I want to read this in the Message Bible. You know, I believe that as we pray, this virus, I believe, you know, prayer changes things, and I believe this virus can be eradicated just like that. And we need to come in agreement. As Christians, we need to come in agreement. Over in Matthew 18, 18 says this in the Message Bible. Take this most seriously. A yes on earth is yes in heaven. A no on earth is no in heaven. What you say to one another is eternal. I mean this. When two of you get together on anything at all on earth and make a prayer of it, my Father in heaven goes into action. Hallelujah. And so I want each and every one of us, we need to stand in agreement that this virus will be eradicated quickly, that our land will be healed, our country will be healed. We will come in unity and harmony, and we will recognize the fact that in God that we trust, that our foundation, the founding fathers of our nation, will place God first in their life. And so we need to pray. So, you know, in conclusion, remember, keep your mind on the Lord. That will keep you in perfect peace. Quote the promises of God often. Trust Him to see us through this crisis. Continue to pray for our leadership, as well as coming into agreement that this COVID-19 virus will be eradicated. And so, as we close, I want the group to come up, and we're going to sing a favorite song of mine. You may not know it, but I just love this song, and it's called Peace, Peace, Wonderful Peace. And let the peace of God just surround you.
And peace, peace, and wonderful peace coming down from our Father above. The sweet